Fred Film Radio.
Fred Film Radio, I'm Matt Micucci from the from FIPA 2018, and I'm very pleased to be joined by director Mike Christie, who's presenting a documentary called Hansa Studios, By the Wall, 1976-90. So thank you very much for joining us.
That's okay. Nice to be here.
Would you like to tell our listeners a little bit about the documentary and what it talks about?
Yeah, so Hansa Studios, By the Wall, 1976-90, we could have had a shorter title, couldn't we? is the previously untold story of a legendary, and I really hate using that word, but in this case it's true, recording studio in Berlin that stood by the Berlin Wall. And it was a hugely successful kind of pop hit recording studio in the 70s. And everything changed when a certain David Bowie went there to complete the album Low, which he'd started in Paris. And then he subsequently moved to Berlin and stayed there and recorded Heroes and was there with Iggy Pop, and they recorded Lust for Life. So the film tells the story, starting with Bowie and Iggy Pop, of this amazing studio from 1976 to 90, during which it saw dozens of amazing artists produce more hits and groundbreaking albums than you could possibly think of, including, well, all sorts. Shall I list a few?
Why not?
Depeche Mode recorded three of their kind of really key albums there in the mid-80s. Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds recorded a huge amount there. Susie and the Banshees, later on, U2 were there.
U2 one of the last bands before the fall of the Berlin Wall.
Well, they actually, U2 arrived after the wall had fell on the night of reunification. And really, they were the last band of that whole period to go to this studio. They recorded the initial sessions for Achtung Baby were recorded there. And they were really having a kind of tough time as a band, kind of putting their kind of new album together and changing direction, and that place was kind of key. And after that, became, as one of the producers in the film calls it, it went into beauty sleep for just over a decade before, it's a bit of a lie, the title of the film, because of course we tell the story of that 15-year period, and then there's an epilogue which picks up with REM and Supergrass, who were two of the bands that went there in the last decade, and the studio's kind of been reactivated, really.
Why do you think so many artists ended up in Berlin at this time?
It was a combination of many things. Berlin, before the wall came down, was a fascinating city that, to tourists, were, you know, had this slightly kind of concrete allure of the wall and the separation, and it felt like a kind of dangerous place, and yet it was incredibly liberal and to some extent relatively lawless, and that there was a lot of freedom there despite the fact everyone was effectively walled in, which is a strange contradiction, but it's true. I think that really appealed to artists, and it's not an accident that most of the kind of great albums that we talk about when we talk about Hansa were really recorded by effectively tourists or visitors to the city. You know, there were, of course, you know, some amazing German musicians there, but their work was very different. So yeah, it was, you know, a very desolate, slightly destroyed city, and as we all know, there's nothing more appealing to artists than somewhere that's kind of, you know, half ruined. You know, creativity always follows destruction.
That's true. Were you a fan of the music yourself?
Yeah, I mean, funnily enough, I remember reading an NME article in the mid-80s when I was a teenager, and I was just getting into Depeche Mode. I remember reading this article about their album Some Great Reward, which was the middle of their three albums they recorded there, the middle one. And reading in this interview that they were recording at Hansa Studios by the wall, and it, you know, this is obviously before the internet, so you know, you didn't know what this place was, but it explained quite a lot about the studio and the city and the wall. And it also, in the same article, it mentioned that David Bowie had recorded Heroes there, and I'd never heard the song Heroes. So because of this article, because at the time Heroes wasn't a well-known song, you know, and I because of this article about Depeche Mode, I went and bought Heroes. So I kind of began to kind of uncover a bit of the Hansa history, but without really knowing that, you know, 30 years later, in essence become part of the story by documenting it.
Interestingly enough, you also get into the story of how Heroes was composed and how the lyrics were composed. So that's just one of the stories. Many of these musicians revisit Hansa Studios, and I mean that must have been great. What was that part like?
That it was unexpected, actually. When we started approaching artists, we thought we could maybe, you know, because you know when you know what it's like when you go to ask someone for an interview and they can spare you an hour and you have to fly to Alaska, you know, or something like that. But we were approaching quite big artists, you know, like Michael Stipe from REM, Martin Gore from Depeche Mode, and, you know, and various members of the Bad Seeds and Tony Visconti and people like that. And the vast majority of people, if not everyone, wanted to try and get to the studios. People wanted to come back, and we hadn't really planned for that. And it was something that kept happening. I mean, Mick Harvey was flying somewhere from Australia and came via Berlin. Michael Stipe couldn't get to Berlin but was trying to, so we ended up meeting in Denmark. So it was really amazing to see all these artists return to this place. It was like an old kind of love affair that they were all revisiting.
The fall of the Berlin Wall too kind of affected the life of the studio itself, because it was a huge PR thing, you know, someone defines it in the documentary.
Yeah, I mean the wall was, you know, literally out, you could see it from many of the windows at Hansa, and it was at the end of Kärntnerstrasse, which is where Hansa still stands. The thing about the wall is, not only was it an imposing presence if you were at the studio, not only could you see it, but it also carved up this incredible wasteland that was Potsdamer Platz, which was where the front line of World War II, you know, the final front line, the very final kind of days were fought out in this space. And effectively, it had been cleared and flattened, but it was literally a big, desolate wasteland with a wall through the middle and a death strip and watchtowers and guards with machine guns and binoculars. And all of that faced the studio. You know, there's some advantages to that as well, because, you know, let's face it, you could make as much noise as you want. There's no neighbours to upset. But I think, you know, there's, without kind of getting too deep, there's the Situationists in the 60s had this thing called psychogeography, which was the effect, you know, of spaces and places on your psyche. And I think this is a living example of psychogeography. This is, an amazing studio that looked like a ruin built in the middle of a wasteland.
I wondered if, as a filmmaker making a movie about Hansa Studio, you were influenced by the spaces of the studio.
Yeah, very much so. I mean, I actually have made quite a lot of films and TV series about architecture. It's actually, you know, it's one of my kind of, I wouldn't say hobbies, but it's one of my interests. And so, and as a filmmaker, I'm really interested in communicating the sense of a space and a place. And one of the objectives I was trying to achieve with this film was, well, two very clear objectives. One, I wanted the viewer to feel like they'd been in a time machine and they'd been in this world, in the city, and in the studio. Two, I wanted to really, really communicate the spaces as well, you know, the walls and the feel, you know, the wood, the beautiful wooden floors. And it's a very, very grand building, albeit in the 70s and 80s it was a bit more beaten up and a bit more faded. You know, it is actually a very, very grand building. It's built around a ballroom, which is the famous Hall by the Wall, where Bowie recorded Heroes and so many of the artists really focused their work. I mean, there's actually five, at that time, there were five studios in the building, but, you know, there's four of note, and the big hall is the main one. But, yeah, I really wanted to communicate that architecturally, you know. I wanted it to feel a little bit like a design magazine, so you're watching it and you're drawn in by the photography and the atmosphere, I hope.
Thank you very much for joining us. It was a great pleasure, and I definitely recommend this film to anyone who's a fan of this type of music, but also music in general and the history of music, because now it is in fact history of music. I think as well it's such a fascinating history that it's definitely contributed to like the Hansa Studio being reborn in the new sort of era. Would you agree?
Well, I think it's, you know, there's still active studios in that building. You know, it's now actually four different businesses. The four main studios are four different businesses, but, you know, one of them is still Hansa. The mix room, you know, is run by this producer who produces Adele and Taylor Swift, and, you know, Swedish producer. And then on the ground floor, where you know they recorded Lust for Life and yeah. great tracks like that. There's this amazing classical space, and the hall, of course, is still there, and it's mainly used for events. But I think I think the film, you know, hopefully, as happened in the ending, a lot of the bands who were visiting said, "I'd really like to come back here," you know, and then now they can.
Well, thank you very much for joining us.
Pleasure.
Great pleasure.
Thanks, Matt.
And this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.